This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Isn't it convenient that we have a round table?
Well, it's actually oval. Just saying.
Yeah, the blind guy feels it now, goes, well, I don't know. I guess it is oval.
Kind of oval.
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday we have the round table, and we're joined this week by Leanne Brown, our IT specialist. Leanne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Pretty well, pretty well. We've lost Remy a little bit here briefly.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with what you... Remy is back. Okay.
I'm back. It's just the technology gremlins testing me on roundtable time. Thank you for picking it up, Brock.
As we say in technology, nothing works 100% 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it can't be truer than today. Leanne, thank you on the roundtable today. And I say that Kelly McDonald, he handpicks these subjects for us weekly, and he brings it on, and then he holds the key to the city, and he never tells us what's up. But you know what? Today he let me in on it, because I'm going to be hosting the roundtable with you guys. So really excited to chat with you. And don't worry, it's not too scary. I'll let Brock go first every single time. I'm kidding. But let's start with this piece of information. So one day after, and this was from yesterday, by the way, so now it's 2 days after, but one day after Jeff Bezos made his historic flight to space, the Amazon founder was facing a lot of criticism, and reporter Andrew Grimmett has more on this.
Jeff Bezos quickly came under fire after giving credit to Amazon workers and customers for funding his flight. The online criticism swift, one person posting, "I'd like a refund." Bezos later responding to criticism that his money could have been better spent.
If you don't focus on the future, then you don't have explorers, you don't have progress.
Bezos also announcing a $200 million donation to nonprofits here on Earth, $100 million each to Chef Jose Andres and former Obama administration advisor Van Jones.
Kind of thought that this was a weird timing. I like the fact that he's giving, you know, different money to different people, etc. But I thought it was weird timing. I did really enjoy the I was watching Breakfast Television, actually, and they were going to commercial break, Leanne, and all of a sudden it was like, let's break to this story. There's a flight going on, etc., to space, and what do we think? And then, of course, one of the reporters said, I hope Bezos is doing really well with his lack of money. There was a bit of teasing going on in that regard as well. Leanne, what did you think about this whole experience?
I think that Jeff Bezos was pretty tone deaf, honestly, saying that, you know, he was thanking his employees, because all the money that he's made from Amazon is off the backs of his employees.
Right.
So completely tone deaf. And I think it's a great thing that he's donating money to various charities. That's wonderful. But what about your employees? Like, why not give them a raise? I mean, a lot of his employees, they worked right through the pandemic. A lot of them ended up coming down with COVID and being really sick. And you reward them by saying, thanks for putting me into space. Like, why not make it easier for them to pay their bills? Because a lot of those people, they struggle every day to pay their bills and live their lives. So why not make it easier for them? I don't get it.
And to add on to this picture, guys, Bezos has said that he finances the rocket company by selling $1 billion in Amazon stock each year. So it really doesn't help the fact that, you know, he gets to reap the benefits by going up there with several other people.
Yeah, it really doesn't help the fact that he, you know, benefits from all this, certainly. But I guess, like you said, Leanne, it's one of those things where you go, oh, okay, at least you kind of made it work when you say, oh, well, we'll just do this and that. Is space something that you would consider, you know, doing if the opportunity presented itself?
It's actually funny you mention that because when I was applying for jobs, actually, before I ended up landing here, thankfully, I interviewed at a place where the president of the radio station I was applying at was a bit of a weird duck. And he actually asked me, that was one of his questions in my interview, was if you had the ability and the chance to go into space and we're assured of a safe passage there and back, would you do it? And I said, well, of course, because you want to see what's out there.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, I think for me, if the opportunity presented itself and I could go, I would go, but I don't know if there's a lot there for me on a visual perspective. I'm not one to be like, oh, let's cram myself into a situation and fly up somewhere where I have no control over nothing. It would be a cool experience, but I'm just not sure that I would be totally comfortable, really.
Well, yeah, and if I was going to have that experience, I think I would rather it be, you know, by NASA, rather than some millionaire that built his own rocket ship.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Guys, I'm back. I just wanted to announce myself in. I'm having a lot of tech issues, so you're going to be joining me over the phone. And I want to move on to this next piece of conversation as well that Kelly found for us. So Olympic sponsor Toyota is pulling games-related TV ads in Japan. Let's take a listen to this.
Toyota Motor Corporation, one of Japan's leading companies and a worldwide Olympic sponsor, will not air Olympic-themed advertisements on Japanese television during the Tokyo Games, which begin Friday. The decision underscores the divisions within Japan over whether the game should be held, with COVID-19 infections on the rise in the country. In addition, Toyota's chief executive, Akio Toyoda, will not attend Friday's opening ceremony. Toyota has no plans to adjust its Olympic marketing in the United States. I'm Mike Grossio.
So, you know, we're seeing the protests and the people in Japan making their voices heard about the concerns that they're having. And now we're seeing this, Brock, you know, a complete boycott by Toyota, if you ask me. Is this continuing to underline the concern that, you know, everybody's already having, as we heard earlier on in the show when we were talking about it, and protests and things being held? And is it making a bigger difference? Is it adding to the pile? Is it a bigger add to the pile because it's Toyota and not just, you know, the civilians anymore, just in quotes?
I would say that it's adding to it, but I think we are too far removed, as I mentioned this. If Toyota made this stand a while ago and said, we're not going to do this, and other bigger advertisement companies said we're not going to do this, then maybe it would have a bigger impact. But we're at the games. Like, it's here, it's right in front of me. If I look at the date and time on the clock, I just don't know what kind of big impact this has. Do I support it? 100% I support it, but I think we're too late in the game.
And Leanne, I want to take this to the angle around vaccinations. Okay, so we're hearing that the numbers of people getting the virus in Japan are going up, and that the vaccination rates are terrible because of the resources. So do actions like this make a stance when it comes to the vaccinations? Does Toyota doing this, does it directly impact how we're getting impacted by the vaccination efforts for the games?
I would say I don't really think so, because, you know, the vaccination rates are there for, you know, the low uptake is there for many reasons, a lot of which I'm not aware of. I don't know how much of it is because of trouble procuring vaccines in the first place, enough doses, or if it's the vaccine hesitancy going on. And if it's vaccine hesitancy, how much is that just, you know, regular worry, or how much of it's being fueled by the conspiracy angle? So, you know, I think, you know, Toyota jumping on the train at this point isn't really going to have much of an effect, if any.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really, as going back to what Brock was saying, I really do feel like, you know, if Toyota or advertisers or bigger entities had maybe put some of their foot in the game a little bit earlier, we might have seen actual turnaround of the games themselves, or, you know, seen a bigger effort when it comes to the vaccinations or people really being heard. But right now, I think the problem is that we're already so far into it that people are not being heard and the games are going forward. So what exactly are people's efforts doing, right? Like, where are we going with these efforts, Brock?
Yeah, and like I had mentioned too, and I'll take it a step further. Do I think Toyota is acknowledging what they should have done? Yes, by saying we're not going to do this. But by doing it, everyone goes, yeah, this is what you should have done, but you were almost too chicken to do it earlier. And I think that this is what some people would expect, but I will reiterate again, it's far too late in the game to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, I want to, if you're comfortable doing so, switch over to another topic. A Colorado man has been convicted of a vehicular homicide for speeding, crashing, and killing another driver while he live streamed it all. Let's hear this.
Accused of driving as fast as 167 miles an hour on a Denver area highway and live streaming it on Facebook while talking to viewers, Brian Kirby, now 44. The district attorney says during that 2018 drive, Kirby crossed from the left lane to the right and crashed into a sedan from behind while doing 120. The phone appeared to tumble inside Kirby's car. The other car crashed. Its driver, Robert Hamilton, died at the scene, say cops and prosecutors. Kirby drove away. A jury convicted him of vehicular homicide and other charges. Sentencings in September. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Wow. I mean, not only is it completely unfortunate, but this whole conversation around, this being an extreme case, but there's this real big movement, and it may not be conscious, but it's happening everywhere, where there seems to be a lot of incidents like this, Leanne, where people are, they have their phones out, right? They're shooting on their phones and something really newsworthy or incredible happens and somebody has it on their phone, the videos, to talk about more unfortunate incidences from last year and the year before with George Floyd and everybody else, people have it on their phone. So we're able to utilize this evidence or these resources that we now have and having our smartphones out all the time. But is it coincidental? Are we that quick to press record on our devices, Leanne?
I think it's a double-edged sword because, like you were saying, it's good to have it in cases of the George Floyd incident where you can see exactly what happened and people mm-hmm. can't get away with saying it never happened because you have the evidence. But when it comes to just regular day-to-day life, I don't know what point humanity has made it to at this point where the search for personal fame by streaming every moment of your life, including driving in a car, I don't understand the mindset. I never will. And then to have something like tragedy like this happen just makes it all so much worse.
Absolutely. For anyone who watches Black Mirror on Netflix, a Netflix original, there's an episode where this exact same thing happens. But, people aren't paying attention to this girl who's running around the street trying to figure out something that's going on. She's being stalked or something of that nature. And instead of anybody actually helping her out, they're all in their homes, out the windows, filming what's going on. And I mean, every single person in the area has their phone out and they're filming. And I wonder, Brock, I mean, again, another extreme example, right? And it's dystopian, but can you see something like this happening to you one day or to people around you where either A, you end up online because somebody else was filming something either horrific or dramatic happening to you, or the flip side, not to put you on the spot, but how often do you snap photos and videos and you think, oh, this is a Kodak moment, rather than, being present in the moment itself? Because I'm telling you, it's happened to me.
I believe that there is a time and a place to snap those pictures and videos when you're having an experience that is cool, when you're in Europe, when you're somewhere across the world. Those are the right times to do that. The example that I'll give you where I thought it was cringeworthy, Remy and Leanne, was with this tornado in Barrie that took place. There were mm-hmm. videos surfacing of people that were like shooting the tornado as it was coming at them. And I honestly, I sat there and I thought, if that was me, that's not a situation, guys, where I'm like, yeah, let's pull out my smartphone and take a video of the tornado that's coming at me and that could, you know, destruct my home and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a moment where I go, huh? Like, what am I missing here? Because that's not a moment where I would go, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, right before this segment, Leanne, Jeff Ryman was talking to us about unplugging, right? And yeah. I think there's maybe a version of unplugging that we could be used to individually in our own lives, right? Like going up to the cottage or going camping or knowing that you're not going to have Wi-Fi at a certain place. But then I wonder still, do you not take pictures at the cottage? Do you not take videos at the cottage? There's mm-hmm. still some level of an extension of our hand being our smartphone, right? Like the, you know, if I leave my phone at home, well, I'm at home 24/7 now, but what I mean is if I was going to work and I forgot my my phone at home, there's a part of me that is always a little anxious. You know, what if people need to get a hold of me? What if, and I'll blame it on all these different things, et cetera. But there's a part of me that's constantly thinking about my phone. And it's not necessarily because I'm constantly snapping videos or photos, but it's just this extension of us now. We're a part of our identity is in our social media. It's in our photo and video library, right? It's there.
Yeah. Like Brock said, though, I think there's a time and a place. Like, yes, when I go to the cottage, if it's a beautiful sunset, then I'll walk out on the dock and I'll take a picture mm-hmm. of that sunset, or I'll set up my phone, you know, against something on a table to do the time lapse of the sunset. But I wouldn't film while I'm driving a boat. Because there's too much danger there of what could go wrong.
Exactly. But like we've talked about on a bunch of different scenarios in today's show, sometimes we just take things to the other extreme and we're really seeing it. It's very potent now. Yeah. Leanne, I want to thank you so much for coming back on the roundtable with us and really going through this experimental phase of others running the roundtable aside from Kelly, but appreciate it so much and have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Any time. This is a world of fun.
Thank you. Leanne Brown joining us on our roundtable. She's our IT specialist, systems IT specialist here at AMI. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with wrapping up the show, and hopefully I can get off my phone. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.